Hi, this is Jer Lanska, back with the Anointed Nachos podcast. We are on the Armor of God series, jumping into the Shield of Faith, part 2. The first part was amazing. We jumped in and saw that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We got to get the Word of God inside of us. It should be our most prized possession, the Word. And we can get it in any time of any day. It's amazing. Grow your faith, staying in the Word of God. Let's continue this and jump in to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Wow, it's impossible to please God without faith. God designed us to live by faith. Let's think about this. By faith, Noah built the ark. By faith, Abraham saw the promises of God. By faith, Moses chose to be a son of God and to no longer be called the son of a Pharaoh. Throughout the scriptures, faith is present and at the forefront of all stories. All of these people had to choose not to trust in what they saw with their eyes, but rather to believe what they could not see, what God has spoken, to believe that if God said it, He'll provide the materials, He'll provide the finances, He'll provide the people and the team needed to get the job done. They believed in God and got it done. Let's look in Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 22. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham is in the scriptures here being talked about because of his great faith. It said he's not weak in his faith. Why? Simply because he trusted what God said and not what he saw with his eyes. His body was old. Sarah's body was old. Could they have a child to grow a great nation? He didn't think so in the natural, but God said it, so he believed God. Like, if you say it, it's going to happen, no matter our circumstance. And I love that it says he was fully convinced. We need to make sure that we are fully convinced, not just halfway, like not 1 foot in saying, well, I'll try to trust the Lord. And if I don't see something happen, then I guess it wasn't him or that I wasn't using my faith. No, you need to be fully convinced that the scriptures are true. And when God says something and speaks something to you, that it is going to happen. Abraham believed God no matter what. We can see a level of our faith by how much we praise the Lord, regardless of our situations. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 through 37 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. The tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You can see in these verses that our level of faith is seen by what we speak. As you can see in verse 34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we have in our heart is going to come out of our mouth. So what are you putting into your heart? The gates to our heart are our ears and our eyes. What are we listening to? What are we looking at? Those are the things coming into our heart that we need to guard. And what is in our heart will come out of our mouth. Fill your heart with the word of God above all things, so that the word will come out no matter what you see, no matter what circumstance, no matter what fire you're getting into. The word will be there for your situation. Proverbs 18, verse 20 through 21 says, "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." We will be satisfied from the fruit of our mouth. What comes out of our mouth, if it's good things full of life, our life will be satisfied. There's power in our tongue. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23, it says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." This is Jesus talking. He's saying we need to have faith. Faith moves mountains. Faith moves things out of our way. David coming up against Goliath, a mountain, he was focusing on his faith and on his God and got through this mountainous situation and defeated Goliath. Anything that comes against your life, whether it be a finance situation, a job situation, family situations, any big thing that seems like a mountain, something just in your face that you don't see a way around or over, this faith that you have building up on the inside of you in the Word of God, you need to speak it out. You need to just call out those things that are not as though they were and move this mountain out of your way. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up." You know, the devil wants to beat us down, to make us worry, to make us give up. Do we know everything that is available to us from the Lord, and have we exhausted those things? We need this armor to protect us. The devil wants you anxious and worried, full of fear and doubt, filled with discouragement, or insecure. This armor will protect you. I'm telling you, every word of God proves true. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. "He is a shield to all those who come to him for protection." There, we have it. We come to the Lord. We believe in him. We use our faith to believe that God is, and that he is our protector, that he is our shepherd, that he loves us. We're his children. He's our Father, and he will protect us. This faith in the Lord will protect you from the enemy. One more great example in the Word of God is Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 6 through 10 says, "So the administrators and high officers went to the king and said, 'Long live King Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, and high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make it a law that we will strictly enforce. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays to anyone, divine or human, except to you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law that it cannot be changed, an official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked.' So King Darius signed the law, but when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home, knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with his windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he had always done, giving thanks to his God." This is awesome. So these other officials were jealous of Daniel, wanted him out of there so that they can be in charge, and they tried to trap Daniel by having the king sign this decree. For they knew Daniel was going to follow his God regardless. They thought they got him. And so here Daniel is praying. He's not hiding his faith. He's using his faith. He knows God. He trusts in God. No matter what happens, he knows that God is his provider. God is his protector. So he's still going to just open his windows and pray openly to the world. I love that. So Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, as you can read on. I'm going to jump ahead to verse 19 through 23 after the night in the lion's den. Very early the next morning, the king got up and hurried out to the lion's den. When he got there, he called out in anguish, "Daniel, servant of the living God, was your God, whom you serve so faithfully, able to rescue you from the lions?" Daniel answered, "Long live the king! My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths so that they would not hurt me, for I have been found innocent in his sight, and I have not wronged you, your majesty." The king was overjoyed and ordered that Daniel be lifted from the den. Not a scratch was found on him, for he had trusted in his God. That's what the shield of faith will do, even in the physical realm, not just in the spirit realm. Daniel had no scratch on him when he was sitting in a den full of hungry lions. Come on. He put his trust and faith in God. It was a shield protecting him. God is awesome. He loves you. He wants to protect you. He wants to protect your family. How do we use this? What's the application here? We use our faith to stop all the attacks of the enemy. Learn more about who God says you are so that when the devil tries to tell you that you are weak, then you can say that God makes you strong. We want to be protected both spiritually and physically when we use our faith. It's one of the things that transcends the spirit realm and into the natural realm. Your faith will cause things to manifest in your life the way that you want them to be. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, for everyone listening here. I pray that they get into your word to build up their faith, to put their trust in you, not in words that other people say, their experiences, not what the experiences say, but put their trust in you, what you said, that you're our protector, that you're a guider, that you planned our life, that you have great plans and a future for us. So even if someone out there is wondering what their future holds, worried or depressed, and not seeing a light ahead, that we put our faith in you. We say, thank you, Lord God, that Jeremiah 29:11 says that you have a plan for me. You put a future in place for me, and the plan is good. So when I come and speak that, Lord God, I thank you for bringing my plan to the forefront of my life so I can see how much you love me and care about me. We use our faith, we activate it, we speak it, and then we act accordingly by believing it, to step out and say, no matter what I see, I'm going to keep moving forward. I'm going to praise the Lord God. I'm going to praise you, Lord God, no matter what. And I thank you, Lord God, that we will see those things manifest. We'll see joy and love manifest in our lives. We'll see the things we're believing for when we use our faith, when we express our faith, and part of that is to give you praise, to give you glory for all that you've done, for the things that are coming. We thank you already for it ahead of time, not when it comes, but now. Thank you, Lord, for this new job coming. It's coming quick in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, thank you for listening. I appreciate you all. I am excited to teach you the word and get you on fire for the Lord. And until next time, God bless you. Anointed, not chose. Stuck in-